This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight Now, we bring you a discussion on rising Indian exports. The participants are A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and S. Rangabhashyam, AIR correspondent.
Mr. A.K. Bhattacharya, welcome to this discussion on India's foreign trade and more specifically on exports. We understand that, in this financial year, the first 10 months, we have clocked somewhere around, $640 billion. And Commerce and Industry Minister, Mr. Piyush Goyal, has expressed confidence that the country's merchandise and services exports would touch, $750 billion this financial year itself. How easy or difficult would that target be?
It is not going to be a difficult target to achieve a figure of $750 billion of exports of merchandise and services. That's because if you look at the published data in the first 10 months of the current financial year, that is from April 2022 to January 2023, you will notice that total exports till the end of the 10th month has already crossed $640 billion. Now, at that run rate, in the next 2 months, you have to get about $110 billion more. So I don't see any problem in the government, in the country achieving that goal of $750 billion of exports in the current year. Now, the important point to be noted is that $750 billion will actually mean much lower growth than what we achieved last year. In the sense that 2021-22, we achieved a growth of around 40% to come to $676 billion of merchandise and services exports. And in the current year, if we meet $750 billion of target, our growth rate will be about 11%. So clearly, the global economic situation is casting its impact on India's exports, particularly on the merchandise exports category and not so much on services category. And that is something that we need to be very mindful of, because exports by their very nature are in a very dynamic sector and they respond to global demand impulses very quickly. So if the current rate of growth is just around 11% till January. So if, and the whole year would probably end maybe around 10% or 9% growth, because there is some sort of deceleration in the growth that you can see. As a matter of fact, in January itself, we saw the merchandise exports actually declining. Therefore, we have to be very mindful, very cautious. But as I said, $750 billion target of exports of merchandise goods and services is not going to be difficult at all.
Mr. Bhattacharya, we have seen that the last almost, two decades, services exports have kind of overtaken merchandise exports. And, at times we see that there is a major, downward trend, different sectors also. Although in India, we have, different export promotion councils, whether it is for the gems and jewelry sector, whether it's for textile exports or marine exports or engineering goods exports. Do you think it's time to kind of, shake up these organizations as well, the export promotion councils, and to make them more proactive and see to it that what minor tinkering is needed in the government policy so that our exports in goods actually increases?
That is certainly an option that the government can explore, because we do, as you rightly pointed out, there are quite a few export promotion councils attached to different ministries which have the sole the goal and the responsibility is to make sure that exports get a proper boost from these sectors. And it will help if you strengthen and revamp these councils and make them more target-oriented. But I think there are larger forces at play which influence the trajectory of India's exports, particularly in merchandise goods. One is something that is a little beyond our control. That is the global economic situation, its trend. There is no doubt that export demand in the country, the whole world, showing some sort of tepidness in a sense that economic growth prospects are not looking that bright. If you take a look at both the IMF prospects and the World Bank's prospects for the coming year, you see that growth will not be very, very robust. So if that doesn't happen, then it is very clear that our exports will also suffer, because exports are directly linked to the pace of economic activity. So that is one pressure that we need to contend with. And the second pressure is that to what extent as a country we are plugged into global value chains which help any country move up and push more exports. Unfortunately, the Indian companies' connection with the global value chains are relatively weak. And they are weak for a variety of reasons. We can go into it later. But one of the reasons why they are weak is also because that our free trade agreements, although we have concluded two important free trade agreements with Australia and United Arab Emirates in the last few months, we need to expedite and step up our the pace of those agreements to get into more agreements like the European agreement or the UK agreement. Because if you get hooked into these agreements and also become members of some regional trade arrangements, then I would believe that our ability to take advantage and get plugged into these global value chains will be easier. That is point number two. And point number three is that while exports are dependent on global value chains and the world economic growth prospects, they're also dependent on what is the state of domestic sector's competitiveness and to what extent the domestic policies are friendly towards exports. While a lot has been done and achieved in improving the ease of doing business in India, there are a few areas, sectoral policy, which is beyond the scope of the Ministry of Commerce and Industry. For example, the labor policy changes. They need to be reformed. There are also some issues with regard to financing of exports. While the production-linked incentive policy have done quite well in some sectors in boosting exports, particularly in the mobile phones, in other areas, the production-linked incentive scheme is probably yet to show the same results. Maybe it's too early to expect those results, but it is a point that needs to be understood and examined and see what more needs to be done to plug those gaps. Therefore, it is important to strengthen promotion councils, but it is equally important to look at all those three areas that I just now mentioned.
Mr. Bhattacharya, you'd agree that, you know, over the years, you know, foreign trade or global trade has, you know, more or less kind of stabilized and have hit an equilibrium. We have traditionally been looking at exports to the US, to the American continent and to Europe, the traditional countries as such. Do you think the time has now come to look beyond these countries to look for fresh markets and also non-dollar denominated markets for our imports so that, you know, both we benefit when we export to countries which pay us in dollar and when we import, if we could, you know, try and find non-dollar denominated markets, it could be a win-win situation.
Well, there is no denying that we need to diversify our export markets. We cannot be dependent on a few countries for earning of foreign exchange through dispatch of goods and services abroad. We are dependent a lot on the US. We are doing good in terms of export to the US. But we need to go into newer markets. And I think we need to tap the Southeast Asian market. And of course, Japan and Australia and Europe, which is still growing, may not be growing at a very fast pace, but is a traditional market for India. So it's very clear that we need to work towards it. And what is more important is to recognize that the character of global trade has changed. There is challenge of China is playing kind of a problem for Indian exports, because while our Indian exporters try to export their goods and services to China, but there are a lot of non-tariff barriers China creates and imposes. And while we import a lot from China, we are not able to export much to China. So our trade deficit with China is the largest. So therefore, we need to work, maybe take fuller advantage of the World Trading Organization and other diplomatic channels, trade negotiations with the countries that are creating hurdles for our exports and also with countries which can facilitate our exports. So yes, there is a lot of trade diplomacy needs also that must supplement our efforts to look at the new markets to diversify.
We are talking about, you know, exploring new markets. And as you said, you know, South Asia and Southeast Asia could be really potential. But what should be our strategy? Should it be a kind of a bilateral trade pact which we should be looking at? Or we should target FTAs, free trade agreements with blocks or groups of companies, which could be easier and easier in implementing also, rather than having a one-to-one agreement with so many countries?
We did try to join some regional trading blocks, like the RCEP, Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. We almost were there, but at the last minute, because of our differences, it could not materialize because of China presence. I think in any regional trading bloc, if we have serious differences of views and opinion with China, I don't think we'll be able to conclude a regional trading arrangement like that. Now, that leaves us with the option of quickly concluding bilateral deals like which we have done. We have concluded bilateral free trade agreement with Australia. And then we have also concluded an agreement with the UAE. We are negotiating with the UK for an early free trade agreement. We are also reviving free trade arrangement with the European Union. Now, these are all good signs, and they will help us plug into those global value chains and enter into these markets with the encouragement and support of free trade agreement.
Mr. Bhattacharya, let's also talk about the forex reserves of Reserve Bank of India. You know, a year and a half back, you know, we had touched that record high of $640 billion of forex reserve. From there on, you know, we have come down and now it is hovering around $530 billion. Do you think now the exports can really play a big role, and also the rupee-dollar equation has an impact on this? Are we importing a lot and paying in forex and exporting comparatively less, because of which the forex reserves have come down a lot?
Foreign exchange reserves are a function not just of importing more or exporting less. It is also a function of how we use those foreign exchange reserves that we have for managing our currencies. So if we have lost a little bit of our forex reserves, it is also due to the RBI's well-considered policy of reducing volatility in the rupee-dollar exchange rates in the market. I will not link the decline in India's foreign exchange reserves to our higher imports, less exports. That is number one. Number two, I do believe India foreign exchange reserves must be looked at not as something that is an asset that needs to be kept and as a matter of pride, because remember that higher imports is not necessarily a bad thing for a growing economy. It depends on what you are importing. Fortunately, we are importing less luxury gold or these days than we are importing goods for economic activities, for meeting our own demand, or even for re-exporting purpose. So I am not too worried about this kind of decline in forex reserves. And actually, we are sitting on a very comfortable level of forex reserves at this point in time.
Mr. Bhattacharya, before we conclude, I want to bring in this point that in the last 1 year, ever since the Ukraine-Russia war started, India has been importing Russian oil, and through a special arrangement called Vostro accounts, wherein, you know, we pay in rupee itself in our own currency, and whatever imports are, they are offset with that Vostro account, and they are balanced rupee denomination itself. Can we have this kind of a special arrangement with other countries also, where we can pay in our own domestic currency for both exports and imports?
Doing such trade arrangements poses certain restrictions on the way you want to conduct your exports and imports. With Russia, this Vostro account deal was concluded precisely to address the concerns of an increase in import of Russian crude oil at a time when the global crude oil prices had gone up and the Russian crude oil prices were relatively less. So I think in specific circumstances, this Vostro deal kind of an arrangement is workable, but I do not see any logic or relevance or need for extending this kind of an arrangement with other countries. Because after all, trade will have to be open and trade must be conducted in a currency which is accepted by both the trading partners without introducing any distortion or restrictions like what currency to be used. So I would say that it is good to the extent that it allows you to import Russian crude and now help them finance their imports from India. But as a matter of principle, this is something that need not be encouraged.
Mr. Bhattacharya, thank you so much for joining us in this discussion.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on rising Indian exports. The participants were A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and S. Rangabhashyam, AIR correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio.